Welcome to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. I am so excited because this is the last episode of Swamp Donkey Radio I will be doing before watching real baseball games that count. I mean, I guess you have the Soul Series, but I'm talking opening day. I am your host, Lorenzo, joined by always as producer, Ronnie. Reginald, how are you doing today?
Lorenzo, I'm doing well.
I had a good weekend, and I'm going to talk about that. I made a whole inning about my weekend.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to talk about it.
All right, let's talk.
So I'm going to save my how are you question till then.
Okay.
We got a full slate. We got Ohtani updates. We never talked about Snell to the Giants and JD Martinez to the Mets. I got players I'm excited to watch this weekend. Storylines I'm excited to watch this weekend. Reviewing MLB hot takes for 2024. And of course, as always, your guys' very important questions to me as we go around the antlers to wrap up the show. But let's start off with an Ohtani update. He will be speaking to the media later today, so if Ohtani says anything that I think is newsworthy and worth adding into the episode, I will add it in right here. So I either just cut away to future me, or I didn't. Well, you're probably just currently still with me. Either way, if I did, welcome back. MLB announced they are officially launching an investigation into the Shohei Ohtani, Ipe Muzahara gambling situation. Now, that's not really massive news, but it is a step in the right direction, not in the right direction, but in a different direction than we were last time we talked about this topic, which we did a whole emergency episode on, in the fact that they're investigating. Whereas last time they said, hey, we're not going to investigate into it. This is just a bare minimum for me, though. I don't think this is any really like news in either direction. I think we're kind of exactly where we were last time. It's just more of a, hey, MLB, you have to investigate this. Like, there is no world where you cannot investigate the most important player, maybe one of the most popular athletes in the world, having any sort of gambling situation with your league. You have to do some sort of investigation. So nothing totally new in that scenario. One news that dropped this weekend, which is funny, is in the Angels media guide, Ipe Muzahara claimed he graduated from UC Riverside in 2007. The school has no record that that ever happened. So, either we are about to unravel one of the greatest mysteries, weird stories we've ever seen, or just a lot of lies. Because I don't know what's going on, man. This is a weird news drop.
People are saying that next thing is going to come out that he doesn't speak Japanese.
He could just be like swindling everybody.
A con man.
But like, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty in this situation. So we'll see what happens. Dave Roberts spoke to the media. He said that Ohtani hasn't addressed the Dodgers, any of his teammates, about the situation, which I found a little interesting. Maybe he has and Dave Roberts just didn't want to talk about it with the media. But I did find that noteworthy. And again, Ohtani will speak to the media today. So if anything new drops there, that's interesting. But there's kind of a big cloud hanging over the Dodgers right now and Ohtani and that situation. I don't want to beat a dead horse into the ground and, you know, milk the content. I'm not going to beat that horse, Ronnie.
What are you doing to that horse?
I don't want to beat the horse.
You're milking a dead horse?
I'm not milking the dead horse. I don't want... You want to know what? Screw it. I'm going full ESPN mode. It's Ohtani gambling. Give me all the clicks and views. So we'll leave it at that until any new news drops that I think is actually worth talking about and getting into. We'll wait on that. So maybe something with Ohtani press conference today. You know what, Ronnie? Screw it. Make the thumbnail. Let's just Ohtani nonstop. Let's just do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ohtani gambles.
Okay.
Moving on to our second inning, the Orioles announced Jackson Holliday won't make the opening day roster. I'm sad. I mean, this was kind of obvious. This feels like classic service time manipulation. We're counting down in my head, I'm just counting down the days till is either Jackson Holliday makes his MLB debut or he gets a contract extension. Mm-hmm. Like, which one's coming first?
Yeah.
Because we saw it with Jackson Chirio with the Brewers, where he got his contract extension before even playing a game for the Brewers. So are the Orioles going to try to extend Holliday before calling him up so they don't have to worry about any of the service time thing? It's like, hey, here's a seven-year, like Acuna did with the Braves. Here's a seven-year contract. You're our guy. We're not going to worry about arbitration. We're not going to worry about service time. You're just under contract. Or does he get called up to the big leagues and say, hey, no, I could make a ton of money in arbitration and stuff? So that's honestly a storyline that I feel like is going to be a thing. Is like, does Holliday get extended before he comes up? I'm interested in that.
And there's another player that got a contract extension, Ezekiel Tovar on the Rockies.
Yes, I did see that. 7 years, $84 million.
Close. 7 years, $63 million.
Oh, I overshot it. I guess I'll just take those millions for myself.
Right.
But I'm interested to see. That's kind of the new wave in baseball. Sign your young guys before they even make their major league debut. So Holiday, let's put some odds on it. I have him signing his extension before he makes his major league debut.
I like that.
I think that's that'll happen.
He's such an Oriole.
He's an Oriole.
He looks like a bird.
And also, it's like I feel like it's a win for both sides. I mean, I guess it depends on how long you do it. But as long as you do it for the amount of years that you would be stuck under arbitration anyways, all you're doing is just avoiding having to deal with arbitration every year.
How old is he?
20.
So if they sign him for
7 years,
he's probably going to be a free agent.
I think he'll be a free agent in 2020 and when he's 26 or 27. So if it's like if they sign him for 7 years, it's like, all right, just avoid all that awkward.
Yeah.
And I feel like arbitration is the number one reason players end up leaving teams because you end up getting in these fights about that couple million dollars here or there. And then you just go to free agent market and it's like, all right, I don't want to deal with you guys anymore. So interested to see. The Orioles did announce that 24-year-old outfielder Colson Cowser did make the opening day roster. He's the number 19th prospect in baseball and the number 3 in the Orioles system. So even though they're not bringing their number 1 guy up to start the season, they are still adding youth to this roster, which won 100 games last year. Somehow they're getting younger, and I'm really excited about him. Another guy who will be making the opening day roster, and I don't know if you saw this video, Ronnie, Wyatt Langford.
Right, yeah.
Did you see this video?
I didn't.
There was a minute and 18-second video of Bruce Bochy telling Wyatt Langford he made the opening day roster. And I kid you not, I'm getting emotional right now just thinking about it. There is nothing in baseball that, there's two things in baseball that make me cry. Number one, when people find out they're making, going to the show. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like that like 30-year-old journeyman. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you want to know what? We're going to call you.
And they like mess with them a little bit. Yeah. They're just like, this is the last day you're on this team. Thank you for everything you've done. You're going to the show.
And there's always like the spy cam, like an MTV show in the corner. It's like this really low quality GoPro.
It's like in a cup.
Yeah. And then it's like, this video is so funny. It's like overhead cam and Bruce Bochy's like leaning back, crossing his legs. And it's just like, it's hilarious to me. But that made me cry a lot. So I recommend watching that video.
What's the other thing that makes you cry?
Oh, the other thing that makes me cry is when a player retires and it's their last game in front of their home fans and they always like step up onto the mound and start waving to the tip of the cap. And I'm just like
teary-eyed.
Doesn't matter what team, what player, if it's a retirement game, I'm crying.
The shot of the family crying. Oh my,
when they get the shot of like the low angle of the player waving and then the crowd's in the background, you can see the guy doing like the 360 camera work. Just good storytelling.
Who do you think of when you think about that? Like, what's the first
I think
one?
Of Ortiz.
Yeah.
I think of Jeter. Those are a couple ones that pop in my head. Jeter's a big one. Ortiz had a pretty big one.
Miggy.
Yeah.
Last year.
That's always just beautiful, man. Makes me cry. But a lot of young guys making their opening day roster. Not Jackson Holiday, though. And I feel like he was probably the person people expected to make the roster the most.
Yeah.
So, interesting notes there. Moving on to the third inning. Let's talk about some guys who not only made opening day rosters, which we didn't know if they were going to. It was kind of iffy. They also got paid to do it. Blake Snell and J.D. Martinez signed. Blake Snell with a 2-year, $62 million deal with the Giants with a 1 on opt-out after the first year. This is kind of old news. Haven't gotten to talk about it yet because I've been busy and we went to Arizona for spring training. Then we did the Ohtani episode. I was so into the Giants this offseason. I wanted just something to buy in. If you guys have been listening to the show, you know that I was inching towards buying it. Like, I really wanted to. And this is the move that officially gets me in. I'm in. I'm over the line now. Like, the Giants had a really good offseason, dude. They brought in a lot of guys. Jordan Hicks, Robbie Ray, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, Young Ho Lee. They brought in so many dudes.
Jorge Soler.
They just brought in dudes. They revamped his offense. They revamped his pitching staff. They have Blake Snell and Logan Webb, who finished first and second in the Cy Young voting last year at the top of their rotation. They got another guy who won a Cy Young in Robbie Ray. Can he bounce back for that team? I mean, if Jordan Hicks becomes a starter, which the Cardinals tried to do for a while, or if he just becomes a dominant reliever again, they got depth on that roster. I really like what they did. It feels like a layup for the Giants in terms of contract-wise. Yeah. Like, I feel like every team who was trying to contend should have been in on this Snell deal. If you're the Yankees, if you're the, I don't know, even someone like the not the Dodgers because they got everybody, but like the Diamondbacks with the Eduardo Rodriguez injury. It's like, oh, maybe if you threw a little money at Snell for 1 year. Obviously, they kind of got a good pitching staff. I'm just throwing out team names there. But maybe even like the Cubs, like, hey, just give him 1 year, $32 million. Why not? I really like this contract for the Giants. For Snell, I like that he's getting paid. I think that's cool. It's a little disappointing because I was pretty adamant that I didn't want him to settle for a contract like this. I wanted him to get paid. I felt like he earned the money. I felt like he deserved to get paid more, especially coming off his Cy Young season. It obviously didn't work out. Some people will blame Boris. Some people will blame the market. Some people will blame the fact that there was a pick attached to him and it wasn't a clean contract signing. And I feel like that's kind of what people are starting to go with now. And that, hey, if you ball out again this year, next year, you'll finally get that contract. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a big Blake Snell fan. I was rooting for him. I hope he got paid. But I'm happy for the Giants. I think this is a good landing spot for him if he had to take a one-year deal. And, dude, go out and win another Cy Young or finish top three.
Yeah.
And then go to the market and be like, dudes, what are you going to say to me now? Pay me.
A pissed-off Snell.
Pissed off. The Giants are getting a pissed-off, prove-it Snell who happened to just win the Cy Young. And he gets to go back and be with Bob Melvin. We won the Cy Young under, which I really like.
Yeah.
So, Snell, go out, prove it. I'm rooting for you. I'm officially rooting for the Giants in that stacked NL West division, which is kind of just becomes an arms race the past couple weeks.
What do you think? How do you think he looks in a Giants uniform?
I think he looks pretty good. Same vibe I got from the Padres uniform.
Yeah, I feel like it's not the greatest fit. It looks a little like, it looks rushed.
Rushed is the exact answer. It looks like a last minute signing, which is what it is. Yeah. I am interested to see how his buildup goes since he basically missed all of spring training.
Yeah.
Like, when does he come out? How long? He's not a big innings guy to begin with. So it's like, when does he start pitching for the Giants? How deep does he go into games? What's his pitch count look like? Does it take till like May to get fully right? Interested by that. J.D. Martinez, 1 year, $12 million contract with the New York Mets. I love J.D. Martinez. I feel like he's one of those hitters that every year he's going to sign a new year, 1 year contract as long as he wants to and just go to a team and hit. He was good with the Dodgers last year, and we kind of don't appreciate it enough. He had an 893 OPS. He was an all-star. He hit 33 home runs, 103 RBIs in 113 games. That's like legit good numbers.
Yeah.
So the Mets just signed a 30-100 guy with almost a 900 OPS to their lineup for $12 million. Now, he's a DH, so that's kind of like, I guess, a knock if you want to. But if I'm getting 100 games of 30-100 production from J.D. Martinez at age 36, sign me up, dude. Ever since he went to Boston, he's just been an insane hitter. So, I mean, I love this for the Mets. I think it's one of the sneaky good signings of the offseason. I wish that other teams were more interested in him. But, I mean, good for the Mets, dude. Add a bat to that lineup, which is all of a sudden looking like pretty good. The Mets are like the Red Sox, but better. It's like it feels like they don't want to be in on this season, but they're making more moves to fully like just like move the needle a little bit where it's like playoffs possibility, wild card possibility.
Red Sox plus
is exactly what the Mets are doing this year. So, hey, good for him. And J.D. Martinez, sneaky's been on a lot of teams now at this point.
Yeah,
in his career.
Dude.
Houston, Detroit, Arizona, Boston, Dodgers, and now Mets. Six teams. That's a lot for a guy who's like been one of the best hitters the past 6 years.
He's one of the best pure hitters. Like
he's so fun to watch hit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think about that 2018 season when him and Mookie were going like 1-2 MVP the whole year.
Going band for band.
Just 40 homers, 130 RBIs, just casual, dude. So last year was kind of a resurgence in his career because his last year in Boston, he wasn't that good of a hitter. He struggled a little bit. Probably his worst year hitting in a decent amount of time, so good for him to bounce back and, hey, get that $12 million, go play for the New York Mets. So those are our signing updates. Let's take a quick breather, Ronnie. I want to tell you about how good of a weekend I had.
Let's do it.
I went on a run. It was cold. It was windy.
Cold.
It was like
it was rainy.
Spring wanted to prosper.
Yeah.
So much. Like spring wanted to shine through, but it just had like, it was. Just, I had a second of sadness because I was like, oh, it's the first day of like spring and it's cold. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is the last weekend where, like, I don't get to have that 1 p.m. Saturday baseball game in the background. I'm not even thinking, like, sit down and watch. Because let's be honest. Who's watching every weekend baseball game?
No.
I mean, if you're doing that, like, that means you're dedicated. But, like, people's got plans. People got a life. People got stuff to do. But there is no better feeling for me than having the background baseball game on. It's like the 4:30 game or the night game when you're trying to go to bed. And you just catch like 2 or 3 innings of a random West Coast game. It's my favorite part of watching sports is the casual viewing of random teams and getting to watch different players. And it got me super excited because I was like, oh, this is the last weekend before I get to watch them. I'm giving up home runs and MLB The Show to a bunch of random 10-year-olds. I'm like, the world feels balanced again. So I had a really nice weekend, and I got really excited, and I was like, dude, we get to do this for the full year of covering baseball, and I'm excited about that. So yeah. I had a good weekend.
Yeah, it's we're going to get baseball, and it's only going to get warmer.
Dude, I need the warm weather. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I downloaded MLB The Show, thanks to you.
Yeah, your game share, boys.
Thanks for putting me on.
Where to put you on to your Diamond Dynasty career.
I try to get a hit off Paul Skeens in the impossible moment.
Never did it.
I couldn't touch the ball.
It was an impossible moment.
He was throwing 102 miles per hour. But no, I had a good weekend. Nice reset weekend. Cleaned the place, you know.
You need a reset weekend.
Freshened the air. I watered my plants.
Took down your Christmas tree?
Nope. Still up. For those that are listening and watching, my Christmas tree is still up in my living room. No ornaments.
You deserve to be publicly roasted for this, which is why I bring it up.
No ornaments. Ornaments are off.
It's going to be opening day, Ronnie.
Christmas tree is still
opening
up.
Day tradition. You take down the tree.
It's become basically like a fern now.
It's just a tree.
I might just keep it up all year now.
It's getting out of hand. Opening day, the Christmas tree needs to come down.
I'll burn it.
I mean, like a seance in the backyard. Yeah. Just start burning the tree.
In the middle of my living room. But no, yeah, it's I might have to take it down soon.
You got to take it down. All right, that wraps up the fourth inning. Moving on to the fifth inning, opening day. As I said, I'm excited about the first weekend of baseball, and these are some things that I'm really excited to watch and some storylines I'm really excited to watch. The first one I have, Ronnie, is the bad team that wins their series, and I start spreading pop propaganda on Monday.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about calling it and making it a weekly segment, Overreaction Monday, where I come in, and I've picked my team of the week that they could even go like 4-4. You can't play 8 games in a week. But you know what I mean.
Double header.
And no days off. Really tough week for the really tough week for the fellas. I'm talking about a team that just mildly overachieves. Mm-hmm. They go 2-1 and they win their series this weekend. And then on Monday I come in and I'm hot, ready to start talking about them. Some candidates I got. We got Pirates versus Marlins.
Okay.
Pirates win that series. You better strap in for some Pirates propaganda. Red Sox versus Mariners. If Red Sox win that series, which they definitely won't, but if they do, I mean,
World Series back on.
You're not going to be ready. I'm going to go full homer mode. You're not going to know what's going to hit you. Yeah. Royals versus Twins. If the Royals take 2 out of 3 against the Twins, coming in and I'm screaming about Kansas City.
Bobby Witt MVP.
Yeah, I'm going to say the craziest things. It's going to be our Overreaction Monday, each inning, one inning every Monday. I'm going to just start firing off some. From the gut, passionate takes I have. They don't have to be based in facts or logic.
No.
But I'm going to believe them.
Yep.
So I'm really excited about that. I love a good mediocre baseball team, and it's really easy to forget. I'm feeling this with basketball right now because I've been watching a ton of basketball this year. It's easy to forget how long a baseball season is because from April, we're going to talk about teams this April.
Yep.
Like 2 or 3 teams we'll probably get talk about a lot, really excited about. They're going to be really good. And then you're going to get to the end of the month, and you realize it's been 20 games, and there's 140 of them to go.
Doesn't matter.
I think it's awesome to break the season up in chunks like that, and it's the only way for me personally to get really excited about it is being able to buy in on the highs and the lows of a team based on just a week or two. Because, yeah, at the end of every conversation that we're going to have in the next 2 months, you're going to say, well, it's early. But that's not fun for me. Like, I mean, we got a podcast to do every Monday. So, like, I'm going to react like, hey, this is what's in front of me now. So this is how I feel about it right now. And then, you know, we'll pivot our takes as we go. But I'm excited to buy in, and I will quickly buy in on any team this year. So if your favorite team gets hot for 5 games, don't worry. I will spread the propaganda that other people aren't. Second thing, the random guy who's going to hit 2 homers and have like a 700 batting average this weekend that everybody on Twitter and the social media is just going to be buzzing about. Mm-hmm. Last year was Adam Duvall for the Red Sox.
I was going to say, yep.
2 homers, 7 RBIs, and a walk-off homer against the Orioles. He was hitting 800 after the first 4 games of the season. there are other guys who probably did this last year too, but I just love that random offseason signing that goes off that people probably don't remember signing with that team. And then they're like, oh my God, he's going to be a really big part of this season. And then by the end of April, you probably don't hear about them again, but I'm excited for the random guy that goes off. The debuts. Now this is, again, 162 games. You're going to watch your favorite team if you're a baseball fan, but it's kind of hard to find those out-of-market games that you're going to make time for, because if you're already devoting 2.5 hours every single night to a baseball game, it's tough to devote another 2 hours. I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. People's got stuff to do. But during the first week, you can find like marquee matchups that are worth watching, and having new players and new uniforms is a good one. Obviously, you got Juan Soto with the Yankees. I feel like that's must-watch. People are going to be clicking on that. Dylan Cease, first start for the Padres. You got Snell, first start for the Giants, whenever he's ready to go. There are moments like that that people are going to kind of hone in on. We already got a sneak preview of it with Ohtani and Yamamoto in the Seoul series and Glasnow. It's like those were things that were noteworthy and worth talking about. There's also the random guys that you forgot about who signed with the team, like I mentioned earlier, even if they don't go off. But the first Tim Anderson base hit highlight the Marlins, everyone's going to be like, oh, I forgot about Tim Anderson being a Marlin.
Yeah.
Or that random two-homer game he has in June, and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, that infield is kind of cool. You got Tim Anderson, you got Luis Arraez, you got Josh Bell, and people are going to be like, Jake Berger, I think, is over there.
Watching Sandy Alcantara pitch this year.
Oh, Ronnie, I got bad news.
What?
He's not in for the whole season.
God,
no.
Are you kidding
again,
me, dude?
We're going to figure this out. Every episode we have to, we all get excited for Sandy. And then we find out he had Tommy John.
Thomas Jonathan?
Tom John got him again?
Oh, my God. So who is this guy?
While Ronnie copes with the fact that Sandy will not be here this year, there's also rookies making their first MLB moments. You're going to get the Wyatt Langford first career hit moment. Like, those are the fun parts of opening weekend that you don't get. Oh, the finding the ball.
If
he hits
the ball?
A homer, and then we get the story about they had to give a signed bat, two tickets, and a pair of his left socks to get the ball back. The negotiation is always so weird.
Yeah, it's just
it's always like, no, I don't want $20,000. I want your baby tooth. And it's like, all right, sure, man.
It's like sign this P5 card.
They never want anything normal. It's always they want money. Yeah, just get money.
Get an Outback Steakhouse gift card or something.
Dude, if someone hits a ball to me, I'm immediately walking to the locker room. I'm saying, how much money will you give me? If they're like $20, I'm like, here's the ball. By the way, this is a cool locker room. And then I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for that. Hopefully we get one of those home runs and then weird fan negotiation stories, because I always find those really funny. Last one. The inevitable 162-0 or 161-1 tweets. These are so cliche. They're so lame.
We already got some. The Dodgers.
But it's like a family tradition. I don't know if you have any family traditions, Ronnie.
I have a family.
You got a family. You know those family traditions that they're cringy? They're super cringy.
Oh, yeah.
And when you think about the lead up to them, you're like, that's going to be lame. But then they come around and you like them a little bit. You're like, okay, this is fine. That's how I feel about these tweets.
Right.
Everyone's going to tweet them. They're going to be lame. They're going to be cliche. But I'll like them. I'll drop a like on them. You have to do it.
The 0-162
tweets. The 0-162 tweets, the 162-0 still on tweets. Mm-hmm. Like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen, but I like it. I know you're lame. I know you're cliche for doing it, and I'm just as lame and cliche for liking it. What can I say? I'm a sucker. So I'm looking forward to those as well.
That's a good way to look at it. There's so many baseball tweet cliches.
There's so many cliches, man. You know they're coming, and it's like, I mean, someone's going to hit a homer, and someone's going to quote it with the Nick Castellanos quote.
Oh,
and you just have to accept it.
The copy pastas.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, this is a thing that's going to happen. Instead of being like, this stinks and it's lame, I'm just going to drop the like on it and be like, hey, if you want to make it, you got to hit your layups.
The Javi Baez swinging at something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, and hit your layups if you want to make it, so I respect it.
Yeah.
And I'll like your layups.
Yeah.
You got to respect someone who just never misses a layup.
Right. Sometimes the low-hanging fruit tastes the sweetest.
All right.
Somebody write that down.
Did Ronnie just drop a quote on
did
us?
Did I just drop a proverb?
We're going to start keeping Ronnie quotes from these episodes. Add them to the weekly Weegonized quote graphics.
Let's go.
Moving on to the sixth inning. We got 5 MLB hot takes I found from various articles and Reddit threads, and we're going to rank them, Ronnie. Now, I got 3 rankings for us.
Okay.
The hottest. I tried to come up with names. We'll call it, we got the hottest, we got right in the middle, and we got, like, this is cold.
You want to call the middle one lukewarm?
Middle one can be lukewarm. Hottest we'll call, like, what's, like, the hottest thing? Like a ghost pepper?
Yeah.
That's probably the hottest thing you can
okay,
have.
Okay, we're doing peppers?
We could do peppers. What's your pepper knowledge?
All right, so we can go ghost pepper, habanero, and then...
What's like a non-spicy pepper? Like a green pepper?
Like a green pepper.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I didn't know you were a pepper convert.
Red, yellow, green.
Oh, I like that. The red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper.
So yeah, ghost pepper, habanero, and then green.
Ronnie, are you a pepper connoisseur?
Low-key.
I don't really know. I don't really have peppers that often.
I love spicy, so...
Oh, that is true. As a kid, my dad would always make us like pepper and eggs.
Oh, that's great.
It was good, but then because I had such a large family, we'd have leftovers, and then we'd have cold pepper and eggs.
Oh,
that's and that was like one of the worst meals of my life.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was bad. You know, that's what happens when you make 2 dozen eggs for dinner, and you're just like, oh, we gotta eat these. All right, here's the first one we got. We'll rank them red, yellow, or green based on how hot they are. The hotter they are, is the less we believe them.
Okay,
like that's too hot.
Okay.
The colder they are, it's like, yeah, that's kind of like, that's just true.
On the money.
Yeah, and lukewarm, it's like, I could see that happening. Jackson Holiday will win AO MVP as a rookie.
That's a hot take.
That's hot. That's too hot for me. I'm going to be honest. I'm putting a red on that.
It's tough because he's not even starting.
He's not even starting on the opening day roster. So. Also, you got Juan Soto. You got Aaron Judge. You got, I mean, what if Yordan Alvarez just decides, hey, I'm going to hit 50 homers this year.
Julio Rodriguez.
There's so many. Bobby Witt Jr. is a fun take for everyone.
Jose Ramirez, dark horse always.
Exactly. And the rookie year, if you said AL rookie of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a green pepper.
That's a green pepper.
Easy green pepper. But if you're going to say MVP in his first season. I mean, when was the last time someone won an MVP in their rookie year?
Ichiro Suzuki, 2001.
And that's ball knowledge right there.
That's
so it's
too
been
easy.
23 years since a rookie won MVP. I'm going to give that a red pepper.
Judge should have done it in 2017, but that's neither here.
All right, Ronnie went from spreading facts to propaganda. Yep. All right, moving on to our next one. We have the Texas Rangers will miss the playoffs.
I can see that.
I have a yellow pepper on this.
Yeah.
I have a yellow pepper. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but I see the logic here.
That's a take.
That's a take. I don't think that's a – you say that take, and you're going to get people saying you don't know ball, and people are going to be kind of upset with it because they just won the World Series. But if you break it down, it's pretty rare that a team wins the World Series and is right back there the next year. It's like doesn't happen that often.
Like in the World Series again?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yes.
It's
like
in the World Series. I mean, making the playoffs, that happens.
Right.
But, I mean, there is a world where, hey, you know, a lot of injuries. They got their pitching staff is no Montgomery. Scherzer's hurt. DeGrom's out for the year. People got questions about their pitching staff. I mean, Corey's.
DeGrom's coming back.
He's coming back, but he's out for like the first six months the first couple months. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, how's his health going to look?
Yeah.
And then you got questions with, is Seager going to be healthy for the full year? You got some young guys that I'm going to highlight later that I'm excited about, but there are a little question marks. Now, I'm going to put a yellow pepper on this because I think the Rangers will make the playoffs. But if you were going to argue that they won't, I don't agree, but I see your argument.
Yeah.
It's not a red pepper.
And also that division, obviously, when you have Seattle and Houston.
Yeah.
Like, they snuck – they didn't sneak into the playoffs last year, but they didn't win the division last year.
They were a wild card. Also, I view this as – so basically what you're saying is the Rangers won't be healthy for a full season. Mm. Because that's basically what this is like, hey, they're not going to have the health and the ability to get back there through a long 162. And so if you're telling me that you think someone's going to get hurt, whether it's Seager or a pitcher or something, I'm like, yeah, okay, I could see that. I mean, that could happen. I don't want it to, or I don't think it will, but – it could. So, yellow pepper right in the middle. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Next one. The A's won't be the worst team in baseball.
That's a green pepper.
It's tough because it's not asking a lot.
But the thing is, the A's could ride the wave of not having any pressure. Which could mean that they'd overperform just a little bit to not be the worst.
Okay. What were the MLB 2023 standings? How they were the worst team last year, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So they were 50 and 112. That's so bad. The Rockies were 59 and 103.
Exactly. So you have the Rockies and the Nationals.
And the Nats were, what were the Nats? Were they as bad as that?
They definitely lost 100 games.
71-91.
Oh.
Which is bad.
My bad, Nats fans.
Yeah, sorry, Nats fans. I'm gonna put a green pepper. Maybe. I don't think it's that hot of a take.
Wait a minute.
Because the worst team in baseball, well, they were the worst team last year. Let's do yellow.
What's the exact phrasing?
The A's won't be the worst team in baseball, which I just phrase up as they won't have the worst record.
So if we put it in green, that means that we believe that there will be another team that
is worse. But I'm going to put it in yellow because I could see it happening, but I also believe the A's would be the worst team in baseball.
Okay. I like yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Because the Rockies were only 6 games off from them last year. So right. If the A's just are a little better, which is kind of a lot to ask because they don't care about their team at all, and the Rockies are worse or another team just has a bad year, you could see it either way. But I still think the A's are going to be the worst.
And we did see A's spring training when we were in and they were mashed.
They were mashing in spring training. And you got to believe what you see in spring training. Everyone always says, put stock into what you see in spring training. The Blue Jays will win the AO East. Might be another yellow pepper for me.
Are we yellow pepper? Are we habaneroing right now?
We're habanero merchants right now. I'm going to put a red pepper on it.
That win the AL East?
Yeah. I'm red peppering.
Did they get better this offseason? What'd they do? Other than think they were getting Ohtani.
I mean, not really. Outside of Ohtani, they didn't really do anything. That was kind of the story of their offseason. It was like, no Ohtani, nothing really changed for them.
Lost Chapman.
I'm putting a red pepper.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the AL East.
They brought in Justin Turner and replaced Matt Chapman.
That's right.
I'm putting red pepper because I think the Orioles are better than them, and I think that the Yankees are probably better than them. So I don't – and the Rays, I mean, it was good. I think the Blue Jays are going to be good this year, but AO East, tough ask for me when I haven't seen them do it before, and I'm not as high on their team this year. Red pepper. The Diamondbacks will win the World Series.
We're in red territory for me.
I'm feeling a red pepper.
Win the World Series? No one thought they were going to make it last year. People are also still doubting them after being in the World Series.
Before I answer this, I'm putting A's in green.
Okay.
A's are a green pepper.
A's are a green pepper.
Because I think this is a red pepper.
Okay.
Or is it a yellow?
Because they just lost Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'm going to put it in yellow because I don't believe it. But it's the same with the Rangers. It's like they were just in the World Series last year. I think that I love the D-backs, but I think asking them to go back to the World Series is a really tough task considering like baseball is just weird, man. It happens. But it could happen. They have a good team. They just did it last year. It's not out of this world to think, hey, you have expectations to go back to the World Series just like you did the year before and try to win it. I mean, we've seen teams go to back-to-back World Series before. We've seen the Dodgers do it. We've seen the Rangers do it in 2010 and 2011. Like, we've seen this happen before. Didn't the Royals do it as well?
They went back-to-back, yeah.
So it's like, that's not unreasonable to go back to that World Series after losing the year before. So I'm going to put a nice yellow pepper on that, Diamondbacks fans.
See, I wonder if this will finally be the year where the good teams play well in the playoffs.
You'd like to believe that winning a lot of games in the regular season matters. At least I would like to believe that, you know, the regular season means a little bit more.
Like, if we just get a Dodgers-Braves NLCS.
I think we might need that. I'm going to be honest.
Low-key, I think we kind of need.
I'm personally rooting for, if you win a lot of games in the regular season this year, I want to see the four best teams in the ALCS and the NLCS because I like watching regular season baseball, and I kind of hope it matters. And I hope that teams start like really care about winning regular season games because it leads to playoff success. Now, it also is fun to have the wildcard team every now and then. We got a lot of that last year.
We're getting too much of it, I think.
I think we need to revert a little bit and get we need the powerhouses to kind of go off a little bit. So I'm rooting for that. Moving on to the seventh inning stretch, Ronnie. Players that I think will ball out this weekend / season. Now, this is probably more about the season than the weekend. I got two guys who I want to highlight. I mean, neither of these I think are revolutionary, but I've been sitting on them for a while. I've read a lot about them, and I'm excited about them. The first one is Jordan Walker. Okay, maybe not immediately this weekend, but I really, really, really like, I said free reallys, really like Jordan Walker as a player. He's an insane athlete, great arm, super fast, and he hits the ball a million miles an hour. In his rookie year, in 400 plate appearances, he had 16 homers with 787 OPS on a Cardinals team that was really, really bad.
Yep.
If he cut down on his strikeouts a little bit and gets his OPS, which was only 342 last year, which isn't good, to a 400, we're looking at like an 830, 850 OPS ball player, which I think he will. He's had all the tools to do it. I love guys who hit the ball hard and are fast. It's kind of my staple. If you have a high exit velo and you're fast, I believe you're going to be able to put it together. Strikes out strikeout rate is a little high, has to bring that down, and he has to walk. But in everyone's rookie year, their OPS, their on-base percentage isn't as good as it's going to be. And if his power numbers ticks up a little bit, there's a lot of potential there. So I'm really excited about Jordan Walker. A lot of people are really excited about him. His Baseball Savant is a great page to be. It's a lot of red there. So Jordan Walker is a guy I'm excited for, Cardinals fans, even though you guys know I'm not the biggest Cardinals fan. I can recognize talent. Next. Now, this isn't new at all. Everybody knows about this guy, Josh Jung. I mean, he was literally a World Series champion last year. He was an all-star. He finished fourth in Rookie of the Year. So I'm not reinventing the wheel here by talking about him.
All-star.
Everyone knows what he's capable of. But I love his swing so much, and he's also a wiffle ball fan.
Yes.
So, like, that means a lot to me. If you're a wiffle ball fan, that means maybe we got a little connection. Maybe we could share a pint of ale one day. Yeah.
What are you, in Ireland?
That's how I ask people to hang out. Share a pint. 23 homers last year, 781 OPS, and you're going to notice here, here's my key theme between the two of these guys. On-base percentage, 315. That's really bad. And a strikeout rate of 29.8%. So, rookie year. If he can just bring his strikeout percentage down to league average and walk at a 350, 360 on base percentage clip, again, you're looking at the difference between a 781 OPS guy and an 820 OPS guy in terms of Baseball Reference and how people perceive you is so massive. So we just need 40 to 50 points in that OPS category. And I think it's right there, just easy for Josh Jung to get in terms of just walking a little bit more. So if you can just bring his strikeout percentage down and walk a little bit more of a couple more homers, which I think is not that crazy to ask, you're looking at a 25 homer, 80 RBI, 800 OPS player, which is really good. So I think that's right. I mean, we're talking like on the edges for Josh Jung. I think he's right there. He's already a great player. But if he can just clean up the margins that you see with a lot of rookies, high strikeout rate, low walk rate, we're talking about one of the best players on the Rangers. And that's a World Series winning team. So that's not a light, that's not a light saying. That infield could be nasty. It already is nasty. But we're talking about another guy with an 800 OPS. That's really crazy. I even think he could be sniffing 900 if everything goes right for him this year. Moving on to the eighth inning. We've got three quick hitter topics. We're going to move through each one of these before we get to your guys' questions. Nolan Gorman says he overcame his back issues by switching from popcorn with peanut oil to popcorn made with coconut oil. I have no idea what this means. I love popcorn.
I also love popcorn.
I had some popcorn this weekend, dude. It's like popcorn's sneaky healthy for you. Yeah. As long as you don't get like the movie theater butter popcorn. If you just get like regular non-buttered popcorn, sneaky healthy. But it does kind of feel like you're eating nothing.
That's the beauty of it.
It does. But I'll eat a whole bag of popcorn and I'm like, I don't know what just happened to me.
It's like eating air, but good air.
Good air. I mean, white cheddar, smart food popcorn. Now we're talking. But Nolan Gorman's not having any of that. Just coconut oil popcorn. I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's a smart switch. I switched over to my back pain's gone.
See, Ronnie also validates it. So get rid of your peanut oil popcorn. Go to your coconut oil popcorn. Quick MLB The Show 24 review, Ronnie. Let's do 1 minute on this. I've played a ton. You've played a ton.
Yep.
I realized one moment this weekend, I'm like, am I getting too old to be grinding for Diamond Dynasty cards?
It's getting tougher because like I tried and I'm like, this is getting
so much time.
It's so much time.
12-year-old me would put 100 hours in to getting a Babe Ruth card.
Easy.
But now I was like, I played for like an hour where I was like doing moments and like I even like opened up a conquest map.
Then
I looked at myself and I said, no way I'm spending 60 minutes of my day just grinding out simulating baseball games.
That post MLB The Show 24 clarity.
I had a little post clarity. It's still a really fun game. I'm having a ton of fun playing it.
Yeah.
But I did finally feel that moment where I was like, oh, I've reached a point where I don't think I can justify spending my weekends grinding out for a card in a video game.
We're washed.
We might be washed, but it's still fun to play, and I will beat you. Dodgers and Cubs open the 2025 season in Tokyo. It's another year where they're starting a season off in abroad, for the terms that I was looking for.
Excuse me?
Abroad would be the correct term, right?
Yeah, it was.
People were a little upset that there's Dodgers again, but this feels like the most obvious layup of all time. You're going to Tokyo. You have Shohei Ohtani. You have Yamamoto. I feel like what else are you looking for there?
Absolutely. And then you have Seiya Suzuki on the other side.
Exactly. So it's like, dude, if we're starting out in Tokyo and Japan and you have the biggest Japanese star in the world on an MLB team, I mean, you have to put the Dodgers in that game.
I just hope that start times aren't like this year.
They're probably going to be crazy. It seems inevitable.
If that's opening day, right?
Yeah.
That is really tough.
It is tough. But it's if you're looking to just get the Japanese audience, their start times would be normal. So.
No, yeah, that's true.
But super cool. I like it. I think putting the Dodgers in that is the smart move. Now, my favorite segment that we will be introducing every single week. I've been sitting on this for a while. I've got a ton of people suggest this to me, and it made me happy because I had this idea when I started the show, and the fact that you guys are also in lockstep on what we should be doing is cool to me. The Swamp Donkey of the Week. Each week, we will name one home run the Swamp Donkey of the Week. This doesn't just have to be an MLB home run. We are open to all home runs. So if you guys hit a homer in your little league game, in your high school game, and you send it to me on Instagram or on Twitter or We Got Ice on any platform, maybe you will be featured. We'll go through them. I'll pick one each week. We'll highlight it. We'll show the video. Robinson Cano, 41 years old.
Yep.
Spring training homer, and he let you know about it. He pimped that like I've never seen anyone pimp a homer in spring training. And those jerseys they were wearing were crazy, dude.
Los Diablos.
Crazy. So Robinson Cano at 41 years old, still hitting spring training homers. He is our Swamp Donkey of the Week. Moving to the ninth inning, let's get around the antlers and answer the questions that you guys want us to. Who is your favorite current relief pitcher not on your favorite team?
Ooh.
Good question. This one's an easy one for me.
Me too.
Who is he? Say it on three.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Emmanuel Clase.
Camilo Duval.
Okay. We're in the same lockstep,
Dominican
though, guys.
Flamethrowers.
Yeah, exactly. I love Clase. He's so fun to watch. Yeah. Whenever he's pitching, I'm tuning in. Duval, also awesome. Which MLB team do you think would be the most disappointing this season? The Cardinals disappointed me last year. I'm wondering who will do it this year.
Ooh.
Cardinals are a great one from last year.
Yeah. So it's just a good team that
will not reach expectations or be bad.
Yeah.
Miss the playoffs. That's a good one. I think one of the NL West ones are where we're looking. Because I think one of those teams are going to kind of fall short.
I guess the Padres were a disappointment last year.
They were a disappointment. It's a tough one.
I definitely think it's a coastal
team. It's got to be a coastal team.
Phillies.
This is tough, man. I mean, I'm going to just throw out there just because.
Has to be a good team.
Yeah, because they made the playoffs last year. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs again.
Whoa, I have one.
I'm going to say Rays.
Okay. They made
They were a 90-win team last year.
I feel like they were such a quiet team where they kind of just like didn't really make much noise.
Can you just let me have my cop-out answer, please?
No, it's fine. I have my answer.
All right, what's your answer?
The Arizona Diamondbacks.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are a team that crossed my mind, but they're nice to us, and they let us film with their facilities, and they're really cool. I didn't want to say that. They were just so welcoming to us. I didn't want to say it.
The Orioles.
Yeah, there you go. Good. That was a politician answer by me.
The Orioles.
But I'm going with the Rays. How do you eat your hot dog? It's opening day. I love hot dogs. Everyone loves hot dogs. What do you put on yours?
I eat it hamburger style.
The hell does that mean?
Instead of long ways, I eat it sideways, like corn on the cob.
You're joking. I almost fired you. I don't have that power, but I almost fired you right now. Devious licks.
What do you mean?
What do you put on your hot dog?
Oh, I mean, ketchup.
I mean, I'm a ketchup and relish guy. If there's little diced onions, I'm sprinkling it. You got to go onions to hand to dog. Don't go onions to dog. It's a sprinkle method.
Okay.
There's an actual logic to that.
I also like some cheese on my dog. Like
not a big
dog.
Chili cheese dog guy. A little too much going on there for me, if I'm being honest. Okay. I saw you eat a mac and cheese dog at spring training. That was too much. I mean, you're kind of violating the sanctity of a hot dog.
It didn't because it wasn't a hot dog. I had to unbury my hot dog.
You used a fork.
I had to eat a meal before I got to my hot dog.
That's no longer a hot dog, so you lost me on that one.
It was great, though.
I'm happy you had fun. Last question. Favorite non-baseball sports event? It's March Madness season. What's your guys' favorite non-baseball sports event? See, I should love March Madness more than I do because it's like everything I would love. College basketball. I love basketball. I like college sports. I think they're fun. But for me, it's just like, I don't know. I just have a hard time. There's too many games going on, and I don't have a team, which I think is a big issue. Yeah. So it's just hard for me to follow.
I have a team, but they're usually not in the tournament, especially since we were robbed.
RIP Seton Hall.
Seton Hall Pirates, baby. But that's a good question. I mean,
For me, it's the NBA Finals.
Dare I say the Olympics?
Oh, good one. That's a really good answer, actually. Yeah, I was thinking. They didn't even cross my mind. I like basketball. I like the NBA Finals. That's kind of a layup. But the Olympics are a good one.
That's every sport ever.
Yeah. Really good answer, Ron.
Thanks, man.
And that wraps up that. You guys like that? You guys like that? That's how you do a podcast. That wraps up this week's episode of Swamp Talkie Radio. Make sure you guys comment your questions to be featured next week and submit your home runs. We appreciate you and love you as always. Next time we'll talk to you. We'll be talking baseball games. See you then.